This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to New Beginnings. So glad you're here with us in the new year, 2021. And with us, as he's been for quite some time, our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. You can see him online, rippleconnects.com, and also by the plain old telephone system. Joe, you got to help me.
763-438-1621.
All right. Thank you very much. One digit makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
This week, we want to talk about etiquette and Zoom etiquette. There are a lot of people, because of the pandemic that has been with us, we're not able to get together in the ways that we normally would, person to person, body to body, touching each other, shaking hands, giving hugs, and all the rest of it. So we found a new way to get together. But we also see that as we're getting together with Zoom chats, we're getting together with GoToMeeting, we're getting together with meetups and all the rest of it, that we find that it's a little different. It's sometimes people forget their etiquette just because we're sitting in the comfort of our own home, because we're sitting in a den, or maybe you're in an office place. But sometimes the etiquette that we should normally have, the decorum that we should normally have, seems to escape us. And I'm wondering if you can lead us in a discussion this weekend, Joe, that talks about Zoom or online etiquette this week.
Certainly. And because I run a nonprofit here in the Twin Cities, I participate. The majority of my meetings are on Zoom, you know, a chamber or Rotary or face-to-face meetings. The majority of our meetings are Zoom, but you want to make sure that just because you're in the comfort of your home, as you had mentioned, that we don't forget that we are in the middle of a business meeting, and we have to make sure we put our best foot forward, especially if we're representing our company or organization, what have you. So, you know, the etiquette part of it is, just because you're at home and you're attending an important meeting, I think one of the things that I strive for, I'm not perfect at this, just to stay focused. And because there's so many distractions in a home, that staying focused or being present in a meeting can be difficult via Zoom versus sitting in a conference room or someone's office. Do you agree with that, Freddie?
I agree. So it makes me think about certain preparations that an individual should make to stay focused, to stay in the moment before that Zoom call jumps off at the top of the hour or at the quarter hour, at the bottom of the hour. So how would you suggest that someone prepare for that online meeting?
Well, it depends on if it's in your home setting and you have distractions or someone's going to interrupt or, you know, anything. Make sure that the people that are in your home or your setting know that you're going to be in an important meeting for an hour. And that does go a long way, making sure that all the ducks are in a row in regards to the home front, but also staying focused in the meeting. When someone else is talking and you have a gallery view on for a Zoom and you're talking and you see others doing other things, you don't feel that they're present or hearing some of the stuff that's important to this meeting. And I do think that's one of the etiquettes that we do have to follow. We can't get too lax in regards to our focus and staying in the moment, particularly if it's an important meeting, it's a team meeting. We do have to show each other respect and a time and stay, you know, stay focused on the task at hand. We more than likely would be doing that if we were sitting across the table from each other. And it's really no different when it's via Zoom, in my opinion.
Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, the co-host on New Beginnings, about Zoom or online etiquette. And we're talking about staying in the moment. So again, so as we are coming in, how do you appear to be focused, or even though you hear what's going on, you can see that person on the other line or on your screen, what do you do to make yourself appear as if, even if you're not, that you're focused, that you're in the moment, and that you're actually paying attention with more than just your ears?
Know where your web camera is and where it's at in comparison. You know, make sure it's at a good level so you're looking straight into it. Often I do that, or I have a notepad where I'm taking notes. And And that helps me to make sure that I capture everything that I need to know when I, after the meeting. But I think knowing where that web camera is, and I do suggest that people, when they're in meetings, if they can, you know, use that web camera, because that does help for people to collaborate with you, understand where you're coming from. They're going to see your body language. I do suggest a good web camera. And if you're going to be in a home office setting with your own laptop, make sure you look into investing in a good web camera. But definitely, it's the web camera. That's where the focus is, knowing where it is, staying focused. And that is good etiquette in my book.
It's interesting that you mentioned a good web camera, and there are people who are going, well, Joe McKenzie, you just left me out. But you can find a good web camera for next to nothing these days.
Absolutely. Technology has come a long way, and you can get very good laptops with good and devices with good web cameras. 10 years ago, we never thought about using a web camera to reach into our homes for a meeting. Now it's commonplace where people will see it. We see it on the news. We see it when celebrities or famous people are being interviewed from their homes. We're going into their home. Well, in our meetings, we are going into our own home. So, and that's via the technology, and that is a good web camera.
Interesting. And I know that I've upgraded my own personal web camera, because it seemed to be that when I noticed when other people are on, it was interesting. When I did not have a web camera, I could see other folks, but I felt kind of put off when I noticed that there were dark screens where there was only a name. And I'm thinking, why didn't that person turn on their camera? But I needed to turn that finger around to me. Why didn't I even purchase a web camera to be on? That's not good etiquette. So I'm seeing here that between $20 and $40, you can buy a decent web camera.
Yes, absolutely. And there's so many resources out there, and you can do so much. And they've come into our price points where it's an investment in ourselves. It's an investment in our first impression of just like if you would walk into an office with a good briefcase or, you know, a well-pressed suit and tie. Mm-hmm. We do have to make sure that understanding is that we're representing our company, our organization via web camera in our home, you know, that etiquette, focusing on that web camera so it looks like we're in the moment, interested, listening to what's taking place versus maybe looking at our phone or being distracted continually by things that are going around us. We should be ready for those meetings. And that is just good etiquette. That's how you're gonna be more successful in a digital age, is that you stay focused, you're in the moment, and you're absorbing the information, because that's how we're gonna get through these distance times together as a team or growing our business, is representing ourselves well through this proper etiquette, in my opinion.
Exactly. Joe McKenzie with us now on New Beginnings. We're talking about Zoom etiquette. And as you're talking about etiquette and you're talking about the web presence and so forth, looking as if you're interested, even though you may not be on a particular point, what about your style of dress, Joe McKenzie?
I think you have to approach it just like you walked into a conference room, that you either have, you know, a business attire on. If you're sitting there in a football jersey or, you know, a hooded sweatshirt or a T-shirt with a logo on there, and if it's a business meeting, that is not going to be a very good first impression of people, of you, from people, or just your level of respect for others and what they're presenting that day. I've seen it. I bet you I participate in at least a dozen Zoom meetings a week with various groups, and I know the ones that I would like to do business with, and those are the ones that are dressed for that meeting, that important meeting, and they're staying focused. And I think just because we're in our home during regular business hours doesn't give us the luxury of just wearing what we want, because we would never do that by going into someone's office.
Exactly.
And I really do think that's proper etiquette, particularly solely on business that we're conducting here. That just because we're doing all this virtually and it's in the middle of a pandemic, business still needs to occur, and you still need to earn the business. You still need to represent your organization. And every time that web camera comes on, you should be ready for it, especially if you know those meetings are set up ahead of time.
Exactly. Joe McKenzie with us on New Beginnings, kicking things off this weekend. We're talking about Zoom etiquette. You can find Joe online, rippleconnects.com, or by phone at 763-438-1621. It's the weekend, and this is New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's rippleconnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, rippleconnects.com.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the new New Beginnings Podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Everyone, we're talking with Dr. Nathan Chumalo, who is, he specializes in pediatrics, internal medicine at Park Nicollet Clinic in Brookdale. You know, I was reading a Kaiser Foundation report that says 70% of Americans now have confidence in the coronavirus vaccine. And I'm wondering, Dr. Chumalo, is that what you're seeing in your practice as your patients come to you?
Good morning, Freddie.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me. So my practice is pretty varied. I see a lot of different parts of our community, and I think, like we see even in that survey that you referenced, it depends on the community you're talking to about their confidence in the vaccine and the questions they have. And so it's really, really varied. I wouldn't say we're at 70% yet for every community.
everyone. We're talking with Dr. Nathan Chumalo, who is he specializes in pediatrics, internal medicine at Park Nicollet Clinic in Brookdale. And I'm just curious, are you getting what is the most prevalent question that you get from your patients right now?
Yeah, I'd say there's two questions. One is just about the speed, about how fast these COVID vaccines were developed, and you know, some concerns just about that. And then the other one would be about the newness of some of the shots, the new technology for like the Pfizer and Moderna shot in particular.
So what do you say to allay those fears, doctor?
Well, I start by sharing that I had similar concerns about the speed of the development and then as well as the new technology. And then I, you know, talk about how I have addressed those and where I landed and kind of provide resources. And so when we talk about the speed, there's three things that, you know, I've learned by doing my own research, talking to experts I know, following experts I trust. And that is, you know, one, the technology itself just allows for vaccines to be developed faster. They don't have to be grown in what's called a cell culture, which can take months. They can be written from the actual DNA of the virus, and that helps reduce the time there. Second is the money. You know, so there's tons of money that's been put into the development process. We usually don't see this type of money in vaccines because they aren't big money makers for the companies that make them. Mm-hmm. And so that money allowed them to take several different steps. You might have heard of like clinical phase or trial phase 1, 2, 3. Companies were basically able to start preparing for the next step before the first step was done, which usually they aren't, just because money is a barrier. And there's a nice analogy I heard from one of my colleagues on Twitter. Talked about, you know, if you were to have all your aunties over to clean your house would get cleaned faster and you wouldn't really be too concerned about the quality, you know. And that's the same thing with all these different scientists now having, you know, the money and funding and access to address this one problem allows it to go faster. And then the third one is that the fact we're in a pandemic. And so that actually helps, because to know if a shot is effective and works, you actually have to be exposed to the virus. And so for some of these other, you know, infections, they're a little more rare and you have to wait a bit longer for, you know, a group of people to be exposed to know if the shot itself worked. But since we're in a pandemic, it's everywhere and we are able to find out a lot faster.
Right, for sure. And the CDC has recently said that they're starting to release some data on some of the vaccines that have already been given. Have you yourself given the vaccine? And if you have you gotten any feedback from your clients or your patients or anything?
Yeah, so I'm also on the, you know, allocation, the Minnesota Department of Health Vaccine Allocation Advisory Group, and that's the group that kind of helps determine who gets prioritized when as mm-hmm. we're rolling out the vaccine. And so right now we're still currently in our kind of 1A phase, which is healthcare workers and those who are in long-term care facilities or congregate care facilities. And so since I work clinically just with kids, I haven't been given any vaccine yet, but I have had many of my colleagues in the healthcare field who've gotten it. You know, all of them report little to no symptoms. You know, the most I've heard is some soreness, maybe some fevers and chills. Otherwise, I haven't had the, you know, personal experience giving to my patients yet, but certainly have talked to lots of colleagues that have.
In your opinion, do you feel that we're fighting a losing battle given how slow the vaccination process is unfolding across America? Because we're nowhere close to the 20 million shots by the end of this year.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that our fight against COVID, you know, has been, you know, fraught with lots of different challenges that, you know, frankly, other countries haven't had because of issues with how it's been rolled out and how there's been a lack of leadership and trust in science from, you know, the top of the government. You know, that said, I do think we have an opportunity with these vaccines being approved to improve, you know, from where we've been. And I think a lot of it is going to come with, you know, funding to our, you know, local public health. We need investment in people power because, you know, a lot of this requires a lot of on-the-ground work from, agencies that are already overswamped with the response to everything else the COVID-19 is throwing at us, in addition to everything else they have to do to address our public health. And so, you know, I think there is an opportunity to continue to improve, but, you know, I think we are behind where, you know, many thought we could be at this point.
Dr. Ciobolo, you mentioned another country. The UK says that their country will be inoculated fully by the end of the spring. What does the timeline look like now for Minnesotans?
That's a good question. You know, I think what we're hoping is that there'll be more and more, you know, vaccines approved, because it's going to take more than just one vaccine to get everyone covered. And so far here in the United States, the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines have been approved, and we're, you know, hopeful that that will allow us to get our healthcare workforce, our individuals in congregate care settings, vaccinated within a couple months. But if you're thinking about getting everyone in Minnesota, you know, that includes kids. And what I've been telling patients is that, you know, I anticipate that we're not going to really have a widely available vaccine, you know, for 6 to 9 months for children, in addition to for adults. And then, in addition to having the vaccine available, we have to have a lot of honest conversations to address folks' concerns around the vaccines to get them to take it up. And so I think, you know, at the end of 2021, I would be really happy if Minnesota, you know, was getting close to that 60-70%. But I think we've got a lot of steps to do to get there.
We only have 30 seconds left. Can you give us confidence in vaccines, Dr. Ciobolo?
Absolutely. And so, again, I start by saying that I had my own questions. You know, I went and looked at the literature, educated myself. I talked to experts I know, people in my community I know, like Dr. Zeke McKinney, who runs one of the trials here, and really came out with the fact that, like other vaccines, I really trust the vaccine. You know, the risk of getting COVID is so much higher than the risk of any side effects, long-term or short-term, from the vaccine. And so I really would place my bets with getting the vaccine over risking getting COVID. And you see that in how our community is affected. 1 in 800 Black Americans have died from COVID-19 to date. And so we have to really have these conversations with our community and find people we trust to address our concerns.
Working with the Minnesota Department of Health, Dr. Nathan Ciobolo, internal medicine. He specializes in pediatrics from Brookdale Park. Nicollet, thank you for being with us this morning.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities. Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
You want to be in a place where people know your name. The message is positive and you feel fulfilled. Come be inspired at Unity South Church. Unity South is a non-denominational spiritual community with roots in love, acceptance, and prayer. We believe that you have an indwelling spark of divinity. Come visit us this Sunday for the interactive discussion at 9 a.m. or the regular service at 10:30 a.m. Unity South is located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington. A stimulating and uplifting Sunday school for preschool through 18 years old. Unity South Church, embracing, loving, empowering. Where everybody knows your name.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And right now it's time to turn our attention to the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. It's our pleasure now to introduce the property manager for the center, Kitty Harris, and she's got some great things to share with us. That address, if you'd like to understand where they are, is at 1015 4th Avenue North. General number is 612-344-2221. Happy holidays, Kitty, and welcome back to the program.
It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
You know, it was interesting. I know that typically the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center is just a real hub for activity with a lot of programs and events for the advanced age community with experiential things that happen. I remember the turkey dinners and so forth, the holiday dinners. But things have changed a little bit, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the center is closed to all activity.
Right. It definitely looks different this year with so many different organizations that have reached out and said, how can we help our seniors so that they don't feel isolated and they don't feel forgotten? And VOA has been key in being the connection and being on that front line for us to continue to provide that service.
So for those who don't understand what VOA does, Volunteers of America, how do they support the communities you serve?
So we have VOA social workers that are assigned certain buildings. We have contracts with them, and they're assigned certain senior buildings throughout North and South Minneapolis. And they work with residents around scheduling, from things as small as scheduling rides to tax preparation to helping them get connected with mental health resources. And so they're that conduit in the building on a day-to-day basis for the Housing Authority, because we have, where the MPHA is like literally the largest landlord in the state of Minnesota. So our VOA social workers are very vital at being present in the buildings to help provide those connections to those resources that we have access to as a partner, but we're not, don't always have the staff manpower to physically be there to execute it.
Talk about your connection with the Public Housing Authority. I know that people are facing evictions and they're wondering what their tenant rights are and so forth. What can we say to help people who are going through those kinds of thought patterns or those kinds of instances right now where they may be facing eviction, they may have food insecurity and so on?
Well, we definitely encourage people to either call 311 or 611 to get more information. MPHA is currently still under its eviction moratorium, and that's a statewide prohibition. So we do encourage people, if you're having a situation where a landlord is coming to you during this time and trying to evict you due to non-payment, if you needed relief from COVID, that they should actually contact legal aid, because that is illegal at this time. That statewide moratorium is in place until January the 10th. We do expect that that will be renewed. There's just so many different COVID-19 relief bills are ever changing, but there is still funding available in the Twin Cities area for not only Minneapolis, but St. Paul and the surrounding suburbs. And so if people would look online, they could always go to mphaonline.org, and there's links that can connect them to resources in the community on where you can get assistance with your late payments or where you can get assistance with rental assistance, not just being a Minneapolis public housing resident, but being a community member in the Twin Cities. But again, you can call United Way, you can call 311, you can call 611 to know that these moratoriums are still in place and people should not be having any eviction, any fear that they would get evicted while this is in place.
That's Kitty Harris. She is a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Happy New Year to you, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And with us now, we turn our attention to AARP and its Associate State Director for Community Engagement, Mr. Jay Hapala. Jay is a wonderful resource to you because there are a lot of people who would take advantage of people who are unsuspecting. Jay, with utility scams and home repairs, should we be really concerned about those would-be scam artists right now with regard to home repairs and utility scams?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Freddie. It's good to be back. You know, across the country right now, whether it's strong winds and storms in the heartland and in the south, you know, there have been a number of natural disasters across the country. And so it is a good time to talk about home repairs and how scammers really prey on disaster victims. Mm-hmm. You know, here are people who are down and out and in a crisis, and wouldn't you know it, that the criminals are victimizing these poor people too. And they're trying to sign up their victims as fast as they can. Of course, they are promising very low costs. And a common theme with these unscrupulous or untrustworthy construction people is that you got to decide right now. They'll come at their victims with stories about how they're so busy, and if you don't sign up right now and perhaps make a down payment, it's going to be too late and they're going to move on to the next customer. So that's a big red flag.
So how can a homeowner protect themselves against these people who are very well versed at taking people's money?
Right. It's tough because a person who's had their home damaged has a lot of problems, and it's going to be an emotional time and a critical time. But folks just have to slow down. And that's why planning ahead and learning in advance is such a good strategy or just way to protect yourself. So, you know, these scammers who are involved in these kind of construction scams, they might take a down payment and disappear. They might actually do the work, but it's going to be not high quality work. It only lasts a few years, and when it's time to have some, you know, address the warranty or there's some problem, you're never going to be able to find that contractor. So really, you know, our state and cities have processes in place to make sure that reputable businesses and the people who are running legitimate businesses in an ethical way are registered and licensed and can be checked out with the city and with the state. So I just encourage folks, before signing on with the contractor, I think a good place to start is with your city, because through the permitting process, there is going to be a record and a way to verify reputable businesses. And then in Minnesota, our state keeps licensed on reputable contractors who are insured and protected, so that their, you know, homeowners and people who need the services can be protected as well. And, you know, if you're dealing with someone who wants to do some work on your home, and you ask them, how can I verify that you are a reputable business and you're going to stand behind your work? Mm-hmm. The good guys are going to be happy to explain exactly how they can be verified, because they don't want to, you know, in their industry of doing good work, they don't want to compete with the other guys who are cutting corners and doing things cheaply. So they're going to be helpful. And I guess that's our advice.
Well, I can remember just not long ago, CenturyLink had a power down and their crews were in the neighborhoods. How can you protect yourself against those would-be scam artists who pray for things like that? They wait for the internet to go down, or they wait for that big hailstorm to go down. What's one sure way that we can protect ourselves in an instance like that, Jay?
Yeah. Meanwhile, while there may have been damage to people's homes, you know, other times it's just that the power goes out, or the internet service is down, or maybe there's a problem with the water supply. Who knows what it might be with your utilities. And this is different. So, you know, generally, you know, the scammers aren't going to be doing any actual work on your home, but instead they'll be calling on the phone or sending emails requesting or demanding personal information before you get your power turned back on. They might come up with a story that says, you know, you have a power outage, and in order to get your power restored, you got to pay your bill first before we're going to turn the power back on. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the way. That's just not the way it works. These are just scammers who know there's been a service disruption or a power outage, and they're just taking advantage of that situation to tell a story that sounds like it might be true, but it's not. And unfortunately, people are being victimized in those kind of scams.
Before we have to step away, do you have a word about fake charities?
Yeah, you know, as if folks who are affected by disasters or power outages don't have enough going on, then we got to worry about the scammers who are acting as though they're charities, and they're asking the rest of us donations to help the victims.
But the best advice there is, instead of responding to solicitations or incoming requests for donations, you and I can look up on our own where to give a donation that is a trusted sort of charity.
You mentioned slowing down as a way to stop a scam, but there's also a Fraud Watch helpline.
Yeah, anyone who sees something suspicious, or, you know, if someone's been victimized by a scam, there's so many different government agencies and different places to navigate. That's why we have a one-stop phone number, our Fraud Watch helpline. Our volunteers who are answering the phone here, they can help people navigate all the different complex places that they're supposed to go for help and with these scams. That phone number is 877-908-3360.
All right. Jay Hapala, Associate State Director for Community Engagement. I'm calling him our scam protector for AARP. I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Freddie. You too.
All right.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And let's turn our attention right now to aging in place. And what is aging in place, first of all? Is maybe you've got a home that you've lived in for 30, 40 years, and maybe you don't want to go to a group home or to live with relatives. You just rather live where you are. Well, the best places to retire list are great conversation starters, but the vast majority of Americans have no intention of making a move in retirement. They want to age right where they are. That's a blind spot that can drag down multiple generations within a family. The 60-somethings who refuse to game out the best moves to make now for their 80 to 90-year-old future selves are unconsciously transferring those hard decisions onto their children and their grandchildren. If you think contemplating a move in your 60s is difficult, the hurdle will be physically and emotionally higher later on. That can lead to the kids scrambling to bring services into your home, a move that often requires them to bear some of the cost. And even more costly is the decision more and more adult children, mostly women, make to quit their jobs to care for an elderly parent. That puts their own household futures, retirement security, at risk. And that can trickle down to their grandkids as well. Not just in a tighter college budget, but the increased risk that their parents will not be set up well to afford retirement. So while in your 50s and 60s and in good health, it's important to take a clear-eyed look at what you might consider doing now to make your retirement work for you and your entire family in the future. And that could include discussing this wish with your adult children. Can you really afford to stay put? The goal should be that you can cover basic living expenses from guaranteed retirement income, Social Security, and a pension if you have one, and any required minimum distributions from traditional 401ks and IRAs. Even if you own your own home and have the mortgage paid off, don't lose sight of property tax and maintenance. If you don't live in a region that offers property tax breaks to older homeowners, you also need to bake in that your property tax bill will continue to climb over a long retirement. No idea how to scope out the future cost of staying put? Well, there are plenty of certified financial planners you can hire on an hourly or project basis to help you to crunch those numbers. Is it safe to stay put? The vast majority of homes do not have a layout that works well for seniors. Too many stairs, no bedroom bath on the entry level, a shower that requires stepping into a tub. The time to make those age-in-place renovations is now in your 50s and 60s. And consider the psychological safety of where you live. Do you and your family need to travel a long distance, on busy roads, to see each other? Is there a big stair climb into your home? Can these obstacles be overcome, and can they be obstacles to social connections later on? Can you help your kids by moving closer? Maybe not into their homes, but maybe out back perhaps, converting a garage into a small home or a building, a separate small unit that brings you all close while maintaining some healthy distance. Some communities are becoming open to allowing homeowners to build accessory dwelling units. This is becoming really popular. And if you're game for a bigger retirement relocation, focus on future needs, not just today's wants. warm weather is a popular criterion for best places list, but a nonprofit consortium that tracks every state's level of support and services for long-term care needs, Florida's overall is at the bottom. The states with the highest scores across five broad categories, cost of care, support for family caregivers, etc., were right here in Minnesota, Washington, and Wisconsin. You can learn more at longtermscorecard.org. We've been talking about the best places to retire and aging in place, aging where you are right now. And the big takeaway today is that if you're in your 50s or 60s or you're approaching that age, now is the time to start making those plans, not by yourself, but also with your family. I'm Freddie Bell. You're listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is a lesson already in progress. There are several types of love, too many to go into in a Sunday morning lesson. When I was doing a little research, I realized that there were something like 19 or 21 aspects of love. We could be here for a week. I promise you we won't do that to you this morning. I'll tell you about the time that I worked for a wonderful corporation called Sprint. It's now T-Mobile. Before that, it was Nextel. And it seemed that every few months, there was news of layoffs across the country. There was almost a constant concern or worry that that wave or the sword of Damocles would somehow swing through our office and we'd all be chopped off at some portion. I remember joining the company when it was Nextel, and not 60 days into the mission, they were talking about this merger with Sprint and that some people would lose their jobs. And I thought, my goodness, what have I done? And it seems like it was just a matter of time before one of us or all of us would get that yellow slip telling us that we were in a group to be rationalized. I didn't even know what the word rationalized meant until people started losing their jobs and said, okay, I got it. I understand what being rationalized is. And then the fear crept in. I wondered, what would happen if I were next? How would I take care of my family? And I'm a Unity student, and I'm going through these emotions. It felt so out of control, knowing that a phone call or a faceless email could spell my fate and control my life to a certain extent. And then later on, the list would be realized, and I breathe a sigh of relief, knowing that I had been spared, at least for that round. We had several of those. Many of you know that I grew up in a Baptist church in Kansas City, Missouri, the home of the Kansas City Chiefs, of course. My mother made sure that my brothers and I were active in our church, and we had to do one of two things, either sing in the choir or be an usher. And if you were an usher, you had this badge on your arm that said, usher, and you had your arm behind your back, and you served people in our church. Like this morning, one of the responsibilities here is to welcome you and welcome our visitors. And I knew that on that Sunday, when I would be the usher, my job, it was a big job too, was to give the welcome. And as Monday ticked into Tuesday, into Thursday, I was getting more and more concerned. And as the hours on that Sunday morning grew closer for that time for me to get in front of the congregation, you know, I'm only 8 or 9 years old at that time, I was scared out of my mind. And as I walked down in front of the congregation, the tears streaming down, I said that little 30-second speech, ending with welcome, welcome, welcome. I've come to realize that
And I understand and I live it today that even today that situations are not, and they typically are not as difficult as we think that they'd be. After that talk was over, I was good. After that sword of Damocles spun for a sprint, I was okay. The worst of it is what we think about the situation. There is simple guidance given to us in the scriptures, and many times our thoughts are too loud, many times our thoughts are too confused, or too anxious, or even we're just too stubborn to hear it. In effect, Spirit is telling us in all situations to let there be love. It's just as simple as that. I think the issue in many cases is that this premise, this idea of love is so basic that we miss it. BC, before COVID, I noticed that Don Rolofson, whom you saw light the Advent candle this morning, one of our esteemed Unity teachers along with Sharon Rolofson, Don would walk from room to room here at Unity South, from space to space. And I noticed that he would enter a space, he would pause, and then he'd go to the next space. And although Don would never say it in these words, from what I could gather, Don Rolofson was allowing the love of God to flow through him, thereby filling that space with the love and the energy and the Spirit of God. That's what I believe Don was doing for us. Allowing or getting quiet and allowing love to come in is how we experience the love of God. Let me tell you something. Divine love through us changes things. Do you believe that? Divine love changes things. Over time, and I'm talking about Unity South, over time, difficult situations that we were experiencing here miraculously started to work out. Didn't they, John? I noticed a definite shift, most notably the arrival of a marvelous pastor. I call him pastor, you call him senior minister, in James Stacy. That's what love does. In my work environment, just like Don Rolofson, I regularly walk into the now empty radio studios where I work, into the offices, pausing and allowing the love to come through. My goal is allowing the infinite love of God to come in. I am, and we can be, the love. We can be the channels of love and blessings through which all things are expressed. And as the song says, be ever blessed by God's love. I heard a man by the name of James Stacy says that you cannot love, you cannot express a blessing for someone without being blessed and loved yourself. I don't know about you. That makes me feel good. I have chills now just thinking about that. Let me tell you something about God's love. I'm seeing Spirit transform my oldest daughter. I'm seeing God's love imbuing confidence in my granddaughter. And I see God's love providing guidance to my youngest child in her life's pursuits. In the Bible, there's a story about a woman. Before I get to the Bible story, part of my presence here this morning is to complete a class that I took in studying the Old Testament.
You just heard a message coming from Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.